everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
I'm doing wonderful and having weird flashbacks, just like this episode.
Weird flashbacks?
That's true, but mine are just to Vietnam, which is weird because I've never been to Vietnam. So, you know, maybe they're flash forwards. I don't know.
We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus content, which includes new episode reviews, monthly bonus episodes, a 10-track commentary pack, a commentary track over The Simpsons movie, new weekly written articles by me, weekly bad drawings from both of us about our current episodes. It's just tons of stuff, and I encourage you guys to check it out. Also, if you want to help us out, go on to iTunes or Google Radio. I can't remember what it's called. Google Music Play? Google Play Music or Stitcher or wherever. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe. All those things really help us out. Of course, recommend us to your friends. We really appreciate it. On to this week's episode. It is Aunt Maggie Makes 3, episode 2F10, originally aired January 22nd, 1995, written by Jennifer Crittenden. It's her first episode that she wrote. She's written a handful of Simpsons episodes, also wrote some Seinfeld and some Everybody Loves Raymond. May have heard of those shows.
Oh. No, never heard of any of those shows.
And directed by Swinton O. Scott, also his first episode he directed. He directed a handful of Simpsons episodes, also directed Jurassic Bark from Futurama, the saddest thing known to man. Don't cry, man.
Sounds about right.
Don't cry. Episode finished 47.
Okay, not really sad, but, you know, tear-jerking.
Jurassic Bark is sad? How would you describe it if it's not sad?
Horrifically depressing.
That's sad. Finished 47th in the ratings for this week. Nielsen rating of 10.3, fourth highest rated show on Fox, following Melrose Place, Beverly Hills 90210, and wait for it, Matt, the Rock and Roll Skating Championship.
What?
I don't know what that is. But it all right. More people watch that than they watch The Simpsons this week. Apparently, the Rock and Roll Skating Championship. Anyone out there has any knowledge about that, please let me know, because there's no Wikipedia page. The chalkboard gag, Bagman, is not a legitimate career choice.
I know a lot of people that would differ with that.
What do you mean by legitimate? What does legitimate mean?
Right? It's a job you can have your entire life. That's a career, right?
I mean, legal? Not entirely?
Yeah.
Couch gag, Homer reenacts the James Bond opening gun sequence. You know, where he... James Bond walks out and pulls and shoots. Da-da-da-da. Homer does that. It's okay.
It's pretty good. Is this the first time we saw that one?
Yes, this is definitely the first time we've seen this one.
It's definitely very interesting. It's a good parody.
Yeah, it's a good thing. The episode begins with the family watching Night Boat.
Oh, Night Boat.
I know, it's... Lisa,
I will not hear anything against the boat.
Lisa does mention, or is it, I forget who, I don't, one of the kids mentions that there's always seems to be a convenient canal or inlet or fjord.
I believe that Bart starts that. Oh, there's always a canal.
Yeah.
Or an inlet or a fjord.
I mean, how else do you get Night Boat to work, honestly?
It transforms into a plane.
Then it's Night Plane.
It's Night Everything, all right? It's just Night Everything.
Night Rider's the best one. Is Mr. Feeney. Marge, she shuts off Night Boat. Everyone is upset. And says it is time for, quote-unquote, family time. She even sets a timer for exactly 1 hour, which is not that bad.
Depends on your family, I guess.
I guess it does matter. But they decide to look at family pictures. And we get some cute pictures of Bart, including... many pictures of him sleeping.
Here's Bart sleeping. Here he is dozing. Here he is after a visit from the Sandman. Ooh, here's nappy time, Bart. Oh, here's a cute one. He's all tuckered out.
Why aren't there any pictures of Maggie?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's actually a very interesting story. It all began about 2 years ago before Maggie was even born. Bart, you were Lisa's age, and Lisa... you were the age Bart was several years ago.
Get the camera ready. Bart, very sleepy.
And immediately cut into the flashback, which is the most of the story. Homer is fighting terrorists when we first get there.
Yes. Freelance. Okay, what does he call them? An all-star team of international freelance terrorists, which I don't think you... I guess you could be a freelance terrorist, but generally you're a terrorist because you have a cause, so I don't think that would count as being freelance.
Mercenaries would be freelance.
True, but I guess mercenaries could be terrorists, I suppose.
All mercenaries can't be terrorists, but terrorists aren't necessarily mercenaries.
Sure, let's go with that.
I don't know. But Homer is living out a fantasy of him being a diehard, but how the story really starts, quote unquote, is that he gets the check that finally, a paycheck, that finally gets them out of debt. He doesn't have to work at the nuclear power plant anymore. He's very excited about this. Instead of being like a classy person and just giving 2 weeks notice, he decides to quit with aplomb, you could say.
Aplomb is a good word for it. With a performance, is what I like to say. A star-studded performance.
And here it is.
Did you hear me? I said I quit, Monty! And since I quit, I can do anything I want.
Is that so?
Ooh, lovely desk. It would be too bad if someone, oh, I don't know, didn't use a coaster! Such a nice, tidy office. Maybe it's time you started living like a pig! Oh, I hope I haven't upset you. Bongo head!
I should be resisting this, but I'm paralyzed with rage. And island rhythms.
Yeah, way to play the boss's head like a bongo, Homer.
He's getting a pretty good sound out of that guy.
That's for employing me for 8 years.
That noise you hear at the end is Homer literally burning the bridge.
Yes. A couple of things about that. One, he's worked at the power plant for 8 years and they got him out of debt. What kind of mortgage did he have? My God.
Well, they put down a large amount of money on it when they first...
That's true, because Grandpa sold his house to help him afford it. Fair enough.
I don't know. I can explain it away.
And I still use the phrase, he's getting a pretty good sound out of that guy regularly.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, when you play your boss like a bongo, it's not necessarily the smartest thing Homer does, but it kind of sets the stage for Homer's state of mind in this, is that he's, like, free of all... all the stress that comes with working at the nuclear power plant?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess. Even though he sleeps all the time, so I can't
test how stressful it is. It's more of a state of mind thing, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Homer, now that he has quit his old job, he can now move on to his dream job, which is working at the bowling alley. Of course.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's Homer. He loves a few things. Beer and bowling alley and, Family Guy in the future would take the beer angle, so we gotta go with bowling alley.
Yeah, Barney's uncle owns the bowling alley, and Barney is working there currently. Asks his uncle.
Do we ever get Barney's uncle's name?
Al.
Oh, is it really?
I think so. I believe so. It's Al. I think I have a clip. We'll hear it. We'll hear it later. I think.
Okay.
I was just wondering
because it's Barney's Bowlerama, but it's owned by his uncle Al, so.
It was originally Barney's father's Bowlerama, and his name was also Barney. But then Barney's father died, and his uncle took it over.
So he's Barney Jr.?
Or maybe Al named it after Barney.
Maybe.
Cute little baby Barney.
I'll name it after my nephew.
His cute little nephew, and they will name the Bowlerama after him, and it's alliterative. Everyone likes alliteration.
That's true.
Barney's uncle obliges Barney, immediately fires him, and then hires Homer. Which Barney, I guess, is okay with. It doesn't matter to him as long as Homer gets a job.
Barney's got other things to do. He's got to go drink. More time to drink.
I guess that's true. The family is generally happy that Homer's happy, but they are a little bit worried if they can get by on a quote-unquote pin monkey's salary.
Can we get by on a pin monkey's salary?
Don't worry, Marge. I've come up with a perfectly balanced budget. There will be exactly enough money for you, me, Bart, and Lisa if we make a few small sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
From now on, we use regular toilet paper, not that fancy quilted kind. And only one of you kids can go to college.
Fine.
I love Bart punching the wall.
Right? Over toilet paper.
No, I mean, that is a completely rational and I don't... It's... I approve. Like, that is a good... Like, good toilet paper is not to be overrated. Like, it is a very...
That's
important.
Accurate.
It's... If you're going to splurge on something, toilet paper, you can do worse than getting good toilet paper. It's not that much more expensive. It's... I don't know what kind of savings they're getting from downgrading their toilet paper, is what I'm saying.
They must go through a lot of toilet paper.
Well, it's you know, a big household. I imagine they do.
True, with three females, so, you know.
Maggie doesn't exist yet.
Oh, that's right. So, two females, so.
Yeah.
Can't be that much.
There's four people's lot. Marge and Homer celebrate. Homer's
celebrate.
Well, I mean, and it kind of is going off against that kind of expectation of what they're going to, like, they go to Krusty Burger instead of a fancy restaurant. They end up at the beach, but they almost immediately leave because they are covered. They have sand in their underpants.
In their unmentionables.
Well, Homer actually puts extra in right before they go.
Which is weird. No one should ever do that.
I don't know. I'm not gonna judge, you know, do whatever floats your boat. They get home and end up in bed, and Homer, I guess, he kind of has an, like, says, like, I don't know the right verb for this, Matt. Omen. He says something that's an omen? Is that how you say that?
I think so, yeah. I don't think there's a verb version of omen.
Yeah, but Maggie is conceived at this, well, almost at the same time Homer wants nothing to change.
I hope things stay exactly like this forever.
Don't! 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 Woohoo!
Did you have to be so graphic?
It's okay, Marge. They paved the way for this kind of filth in school.
So, Dad, were you excited that Mom was pregnant?
Actually, your mother hadn't told me yet. At that time, I had no idea Maggie even existed.
Dad!
Hi, Maggie!
And that was the sound of Homer almost sitting on Maggie. And with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer blissfully unaware. He is still living the dream. He puts his head in the Shinobolo. And then goes to Al and accuses him of doing the same thing, but Homer lies and says no. Al then checks his reflection in Homer's head and says, all right, then.
As if it was a mirror.
Oh, sorry. That's a great gag.
It is. It's really good. And I would not suggest anyone do this in real life. I have a feeling that would be incredibly...
No, your head would be very much in pain.
Yeah, I would feel like that might kill you.
It would probably break your skull.
So, yes, death. Death would happen.
Probably. We get to see as Homer learns the behind-the-scenes tricks at the bowling alley. He gets to see essentially how pins are essentially created. They make new pins for every single every time you hit the pins. New ones are made for you because that's just the way it is.
Yeah, they don't reuse pins. What happens is pins are knocked down, they are swept away into the garbage, and then there's just a constant flow of new pins.
That's right. The trees come in one end, they get chopped up, they get shaped and painted and put back down.
And so there's a nice little...
You're always getting fresh pins.
And a nice little man that paints stripes on them. And every single bowling alley in the entire world.
That's right. That's the leading cause of deforestation is bowling alleys. Now you know.
Damn bowling alleys.
Anyway, Homer is really enjoying his job. He knows the names of all the people at the bowling alley. They know his name. They all love him. Homer makes the comment that if horse racing is the sport of kings, then bowling is a very good sport as well. That's a good try, I guess. We also get to see a little Mary Tyler Moore homage as Homer spins around, throws his bowling ball in the air, Mary Tyler Moore's hat, and then it destroys one of the lanes, because that's what happens when you throw your hat or your bowling ball into the air instead of a hat.
I've been with people who have thrown bowling balls in the air. They don't smash the floor.
It depends how high and what size I think you're using. Homer threw his pretty dang high.
I guess it's fair. And it's a Springfield bowling alley, so it's probably made of garbage.
Pretty crappy. That is probably accurate. That's probably why it's hollow underneath, because they're trying to save money.
Probably.
Anyway, we go on to Marge with Dr. Hibbert, who congratulates Marge on being pregnant. Of course, Marge is understandably concerned because Homer loves his life and doesn't want it to change. Dr. Hibbert then makes a very sly attempt to buy a baby from Marge, which Marge is, of course, horrified. And then Dr. Hibbert plays it off like he was testing her, because that's not a flimsy excuse ever. He says that had she reacted differently, she would be in jail right now, which I don't think is actually true, which is just a little weird. The first time I saw that, I was like, wait, what?
It is quite a turn for Dr. Hibbert, but he is on the secret Republican cabal.
That's true. And I guess if anyone behind baby selling, it would be the Republican leadership.
Or a pediatrician as well.
That's true. Anyway, when Marge goes home, the kids obviously know about the baby, because you'd have to be completely stupid not to. Marge essentially hangs out in, I couldn't tell if it was Bart or Lisa's room. Basically, they're asking about names and whether it's going to be a boy or girl. And Bart has a startlingly apt grasp of genetics and saying that it goes boy, girl, boy, girl. So obviously the new baby will be a boy, because that is how biology works. Bart knows that.
Of course. And Marge is noticeably pregnant at this point.
Yes, she definitely has a baby bump.
She's showing. I don't know how Homer doesn't notice this, but that is kind of the point, in that he's
clueless.
It's impossible for him to understand.
Yeah. Anyway, that night or the next night, we're not really clear. We see Homer praying before bed, and Marge attempts to speak to him, but Homer just, brushes past her to make one of the silliest, one most awesome prayers of all time.
Homie, I
can't talk. Praying. Dear Lord, the gods have been good to me, and I am thankful. For the first time in my life, everything is absolutely perfect, just the way it is. So here's the deal. You freeze everything as it is, and I won't ask for anything more. If that is okay, please give me absolutely no sign. Okay, deal. In gratitude, I present you this offering of cookies and milk. If you want me to eat them for you, give me no sign. That will be done.
Sorry, I just love the sounds of Homer eating the cookies at the end.
I was going to say, I'm like, is it, we have to include the gulping? But
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course. But I mean, that is the best way to pray for things. You just say, if you want God to do something, you just ask to have no sign at all.
Exactly. You will always be able to do whatever you want as long as you ask for no sign.
That's not necessarily true.
Okay, statistically, it's indistinguishable from true.
I'm not even sure what you just said, but I agree with you.
Anyway, we then see Patty and Selma making baby noises at Marge's. Once again, very obvious pregnant stomach. And when they leave, basically, Marge says that, oh, no, you absolutely cannot tell Homer. And, of course, Patty and Selma being evil, or as close to it as we can get in The Simpsons, say that, they won't tell Homer. And they then proceed to participate in a great gag where they open up the phone book, call A. Aronson, and then the scene transitions to them talking to, was it Zukowski?
It's a fade to like a Z name. I forget the exact right name of it.
And the joke is that you're supposed to believe that they called everyone in the phone book, when it turns out that they just called Aronson and Zukowski because they're the two biggest gossips in town.
It's a good gag. There's a lot of gags like this. There's a lot of gags like this in this episode. Like very like you get like a long setup. Yeah. But the town at that point, I guess the entire town knows.
Pretty much the entire town. I believe Chief Wiggum congratulates him because he heard it over the squawk box. Apu congratulates him on the little bundle of joy, which Homer completely misinterprets.
Well, he misinterprets everything as congratulations for his new job.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and the next one, when Mo says, hey, Homer, way to get Marge pregnant, Homer completely just is like, that's strange, but sure, I do love my new job. Because Homer is an idiot at best.
Yeah, this is a very dumb Homer in this episode. He's pretty colossally stupid, especially in this part. Like, Of course, you could paint it certainly as like rose-colored glasses. He just is like very happy about his dream job, and he doesn't want any, like
wants
kind
nothing
of
to change.
Yeah. Has blinders on, you know, everything is fine, everything is great.
Fair enough, but we then see the ladies of the town who all now know throw a baby shower for Marge, and Marge is extremely distraught because she obviously hasn't told Homer yet, and she still doesn't want him to know, even though, my God, is it even more obvious by now. But then the worst happens.
Hey, wait a minute. What are all these presents? It looks like you're showering Marge with gifts. With little tiny baby-sized gifts. Well, I'll be in the tub.
By the way, congratulations on your new job, Homer.
New job. Marge is pregnant! No!
Poor Homer. It's amazing what finally clicked for him.
The noises Dan Castellaneta makes in this episode are pretty spectacular. Especially because we get like a montage of all the moments where Homer discovers Marge is pregnant, and it's pretty wonderful.
It turns out Homer has the same exact response every single time.
Yeah,
which would definitely involve him tearing his hair out.
I would say that there are like continuity problems with all of this, because the first time they weren't in that house yet, and the second time they were in the apartment. But whatever.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, that's just the way it goes. We then see that Homer is distraught, and everyone leaves the room, and we fade to a commercial.
Yeah, Homer is dooming gloomy. He's very upset. He's sad. He's found himself comfortable, you know? And, like, this is the life he wants, and this new baby is ruining it. And I don't know, Some people have said this is very much like Return of That Jerk Homer. I don't really... this is a justifiably kind of upset Homer, I think.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's always had that point when someone tells you really upsetting news and, like, your real reaction pours out before you can calm yourself down and think about it for a second. And just that first emotional push.
And, I mean, it's... I don't... I like, it's not... I feel like... We romanticize like learning about a new child arriving, but it requires an immense amount of time and resources to raise a child, and they already have two. I'm not angry at Homer for feeling that way. It's understandable. It's justifiable. I mean, it's not obviously ideal, but I understand why a father in a middle-class household who just got a job that he loves, which pays less than the job that he had, would be upset learning that he had another mouth to feed.
Yeah, especially since babies are expensive. And so at this point, this pretty much gives lie to all the future episodes where we find out that Homer has a mortgage payment, because it's not like the mortgage payment would come back when Maggie was born.
They got a new mortgage, like a second mortgage, to pay for a new car after Homer's crashed it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Done.
Although I think you would probably go with a home equity loan before you'd go with a new mortgage.
Matt, what are we doing? Mm. What are we talking about? Like,
oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to inject logic. My bad.
Yeah, exactly. That's a problem. Silly. But Homer, his solution is, I know what I'll do. I'll get a raise. I'll still have the job I like, and I'll get enough money. He asked for a raise. I don't have that clip. I thought I did. I don't have the clip with the Barney's Bullerama name. Actually, him saying, I'm fairly certain it's Al, because he gets it wrong when Homer goes to him and asks for a raise, says the wrong name, and then corrects himself. Yes, Al Gumbel is the owner of the Ballerama.
That's right.
But Al agrees, he agrees that Homer deserves a raise, but there's just not enough business. Can't justify paying him more money because there's not enough money coming in. So Homer says, what if I raise the amount of business? What if I get triple the amount of business we have? Do I get a raise then? And I was like, yeah, sure, but I don't know how. He's like, eh. And then we get, this is another one of the jokes, the very similar to the, Patty and Selma phone book gag. This is also a very similar, like, long play out. Like, we have a long sequence, which is, I would have pulled it, but it's basically just music, of Homer studying all these marketing books. And first he's looking at advanced marketing, and then he looks at beginner marketing, and ends up just looking up marketing in the dictionary. And then it is revealed what his actual plan is.
Of course! Bowling! Bowling here! Come bowling! Get your bowling! Who's ready? Bowling!
Mom, make Dad tell the story right.
That's what really happened.
Oh.
My marketing plan attracted a record number of police and fire officials, but few stayed to bowl. I failed. Quitting my dream job was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Aww.
I know, it is genuinely sad, and like everyone at the bowling alley kind of comes together and gets Homer a nice jacket, a going away present. Was it a sad to leave you split? Sad to see you split? Is that what it says? Something like that, right?
Sorry you had to split.
Sorry you had to split. That's why you're here, Matt. But Homer leave, and they have a nice moment with I'm guessing a shoeshine boy? Who sounds like a prepubescent Mo.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's a very, like a Dickensian character just randomly appears this episode.
Yeah.
I like it, though. I like it's a very straight, like the kid's like, we're gonna make it, right? Right, Homer? Homer's like, yeah.
Sure thing, Joey.
Yeah, sure thing. But Homer has come to the conclusion, the only way he's going to have enough money to raise his new child is to go back to the nuclear power plant. And this is a rather, like, it really is, like, a very grim and dark scene. Like, he's walking, and, like, towards the power plant, and it's like a medieval castle, almost. Like, shadowy and evil-looking, almost. As he walks in, it starts raining acid rain, which melts his jacket. Can acid rain do that, Matt?
I don't believe that's what acid rain it does. It's not quite that bad. The point is that it basically destroys the ecosystem, not so much melts a jacket off you. And if it melted the jacket off you, it would also melt you.
Maybe it's just a specific type of acid that only affects fabrics.
Maybe. I guess that would be like the weirdest
jacket
ever.
Nope, that's what it is. That's a melting rain acid jacket. Homer gets back into the plant. This receptionist, after inquiring why he's there, learning that he is coming back for his job that he quit, he has to go through the quote-unquote supplicant's door, which is a small door on the floor that you must crawl through. So Homer does go crawling back through the supplicant's door, through a dirty, dirty, dusty tunnel, apparently, and when he comes out at the other end of this tunnel, there is no one there except Mr. Burns.
Come crawling back, eh?
Seems like the classy thing to do would be not to call attention to it. Thanks for giving me my old job back.
I'm afraid it's not that simple. As punishment for your desertion, it's company policy to give you the plague.
Sir, that's the plaque.
Ah, yes, the special demotivational plaque to break what's left of your spirit. Because, you see, you're here forever. Don't forget, you're here forever.
Yes, they put up that famous plaque right in front of Homer's face. I don't think that would be a good thing to do for an employee.
No, that would kind of kill morale, but Mr. Burns has never been big on morale. He's been big on doing your job.
Well, keeping you down and beaten, I think. He's big on that. Homer goes home and it tries to show, you know, a strong, keep a brave face, keep up a facade of strength and support for Marge.
It makes it about 3 seconds.
Does not last really.
I've never been so miserable in all my life, but I can't take it out on Marge and the kids. I've got to carry the burden all by myself. Hi, honey. How are you?
Well, actually...
Oh, I can't go on with this charade any longer. I hate my job, I hate my life, and ever since I found out about this baby, there's been nothing but bad luck.
My contraction started an hour ago.
It's just in one ear and out the other with you, isn't it, Marge?
See, here you go. This is a perfect opportunity. Remember, kids, wrap it up.
Yes. Yes, do that.
If you don't want babies, don't have babies. There's lots of ways to not have babies. What?
Perfect platform for our pro birth control, whatever. Homer gets to the hospital with Marge. He's not quite excited about the birth of Maggie until he sees her.
It's wonderful. It's magical. Oh, boy. Here it comes. Another mouth.
One more push should do it.
Marvelous.
Congratulations, Mr. Simpson. You have a beautiful, healthy baby.
Okay.
Huh? Homie, I think someone is saying hello.
Hello? Oh, it's a boy. And what a boy!
That's the umbilical cord. It's a girl.
A girl! Oh, Marge, we have a wonderful baby girl. Not just a girl, the most beautiful baby girl in the whole world.
And we end the episodes with Homer finally revealing where all those pictures are of Maggie. And we get a shot of that same plaque, which is now very famous, one of the most famous, probably most famous shots from the entire show. And that's the baby's, Maggie's pictures all over the plaque that now have it saying, do it for her, instead of don't forget you're here forever. It's very heartwarming.
Indeed. If that doesn't at least make you want to cry a little bit, you may not have a heart. You should really get talk to a doctor.
Yeah, it's a lot of the time Maggie does seem forgotten. You know, like she's the third child, but you know, she's like literally in Lisa on Ice this very season. Homer says Maggie's not your favorite. You know, like how can, and then she like jumps up and catches a beer bottle for it, hits Homer in the back of the head. And this kind of presents an incontinuity reason why we don't necessarily have her pictures everywhere, but she is not necessarily forgotten. You know, it is a reason.
That's true, especially for Homer, because you feel like Homer very often doesn't think of Maggie, but apparently whenever he's at work, he does.
Yeah, and it is a very grounded look at a father struggling with having a child he doesn't necessarily... I don't know when to use the word want, but it's not convenient for him at this time in his life, but then kind of immediately turns. You know, as soon as Maggie grabs his thumb and he sees her, he has immediately changed his mind. And like all those pictures, just that plaque becomes a motivational plaque. This is a very good episode, Matt.
It is a very, very good episode. It's weird. Every time I see this episode, when I'm going into it, I feel like, yeah, that's a pretty good episode. And then I watch it again, and I'm like, oh, man. Right at the end, when your heart just melts, and you realize that this is an episode filled with a lot of great jokes. The shotgun gag alone in the supplicant's door. but it also has the core of what makes a good Simpsons episode, and that's the family being a family that actually loves each other.
Yeah, it's very heartwarming. Fairly certain I picked it for the most heartwarming moment in the shows for our listener question once upon a time, and I am still going with that. It is like this one of the sweetest things not even in The Simpsons, but like in general, like I don't even have any children and it still really gets to me. We'll see where we rank it at the end of the show. I'm interested.
Will it be as contentious as last week? Tune in to find out.
Well, wait like 15 minutes. We'll get there. Couple submissions for this for my favorite episode. One short and sweet, one a little bit longer. First off from Kyle. Hey, guys, just want to share my favorite episode. It has to be And Maggie Makes Three. The end is the biggest tear-joking moment of the series for me. Thanks, Kyle. And I agree. And then finally, and also from this is from Chris. Dear Matt and Robbie, in preparation for the birth of our daughter, my wife and I took birthing classes where we were told that labor was a long and intense process and not at all like the movies. In preparation for this, my wife requested I load my laptop with episodes of The Simpsons and Bob Ross to help her relax while we were at the hospital. Needless to say, her labor was exactly like the movies. The frantic car ride to the hospital, racing around with her in a wheelchair, and the doctors telling her it was too late for any pain medication. Ugh. After the miracle
it's never too late for pain medication.
I'm not a doctor. After the miracle of my daughter's birth and after hours of doctors and visitors, we settled down to my daughter's first TV experience and Maggie Makes Three, an episode that so perfectly balances humor, bowling, get your bowling here, and heart. It includes the entire core family, emphasis on Maggie's story, which we rarely see, and perfect bit parts by some of the beloved side characters. Some of the episodes you have reviewed so far, Homer has a bit of a jerk archetype. You see that here as well. However, where those episodes fell short and where this one excels is Raj choosing to show us the do-it-for-her ending. This gives us that rare look at a side of Homer's family doesn't know about. The children did not know where the pictures were. This makes him such an endearing character to the audience because we can see, despite his actions, just how deeply he cares for his family. I'm not ashamed to say I cried holding my newborn daughter at that ending, and I've seen the episode a couple of times since. I tear up every time. Thanks for the great show and for helping me get through the day at my dead-end job. You and, of course, this... warm regards, Chris. I don't know if you've looked at it, Matt, but in our Google Drive, shared Google Drive, Chris sent us a little picture of the Do It For Her, but pictures of his adorable little daughter instead of Maggie.
I wondered what that was.
That's very cute. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Yeah, it looks really nice. Thank you, Chris, for your answer. And it is like, I can't even imagine like having a daughter and then watching this episode.
Yeah, that would probably kill me.
Yeah. If you have an episode that is your favorite, please submit it to us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. And when we get to that episode, I will read your response on air. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group that is archived on Google Groups the week or two after an episode has debuted back in 1995. For this episode, and see what people were talking about, see what people were thinking about the episode, about things in news in general. Anything Simpsons related usually popped up on there. I think I've crossed the threshold, Matt.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, I've my least favorite episodes are the ones that generally take pot shots at the fans. You know, certain episodes, I'm not going to name them, but they feel like they are poking fun at the nerdier among us. You know, the ones who are more sticklers for various minor details that most people probably don't care about and don't notice to begin with.
So
I'm not going to call them that. You and I are just as bad. I mean, we are doing this show and we have some fairly reductive complaints from time to time. So I'm not going to call them the people who criticize them. I don't want to like label them just as a general, like any kind of reading the responses after this episode. I just understand the writer's point of view more and more and more. I still very much resent any episode that kind of pokes fun at their own fans, but some people call this episode great. I'm not going to say that there weren't any raving reviews, because there were plenty. Many people calling this a great, great episode, which it is. Some people were calling, like, there was literally a post, worst episode ever for this episode.
Wow. Seriously? Did they watch season one? Really? Did they?
The complaints. I'm fairly certain from that post that... And it's all about, like, very dumb, that Ruth Powers was in the baby shower, even though Ruth Powers technically wasn't in Springfield yet. Who cares? I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't know. The recycling of plot, like, they were angry that this was a flashback episode after there had already been flashback episodes. I'm like, well, yeah, they're building, can't you not clearly see that they are building the family through literally, first flashback episode, Homer and Marge meeting. Second, them getting married and having, and then having Bart, then having Lisa, and now Maggie. Like, it is clearly, like, a block by, and they're like, oh, it's a flashback episode that only goes back 2 years. I'm like, why does that matter? That is part of the gag. Like, that whole spiel Homer does in the beginning of the episode, which we didn't include a lot of it, but it was about that very, look back, it's the long distant past of 2 years ago. You know, like, that's the joke. This episode is, like, categorically good. I can't understand, like, how you could watch this and get angry.
I wish I could tell you. I mean, the best I can tell you is that perhaps there was some weirdness they saw in the first couple seasons that they really enjoyed, and this doesn't have it anymore, and just I don't know. These are people I feel like would enjoy more abstract humor, on MTV in the 90s.
But it's the exact opposite. They're like, they harken back to the good old days of season one, where it's very like, I don't know, like, I think from what I read it seemed like they were complaining about originality. Like, the episode, like, they're not doing anything new anymore. I'm like, well, if you don't think they're not doing anything new anymore, I don't want to see what you think when you're watching season 19. I don't know. I was reading and I was just getting, I had to stop reading. It was making me like upset. Like, how can you,
how can you be that wrong?
I generally try and temper my feelings, even about something I don't like. And I don't understand. And like, they do make a joke about in this episode, even about nerds on the internet complaining about Star Trek and self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It is. I just don't get it. I don't like. I can like this in this episode. It is much more closer to those older seasons, like the early seasons, where it was much more realistic, you know, and less absurdist humor. So I don't like originality. It's showing how I don't think this theme was ever tackled before. Like, I don't like, we only get a little bit of Homer like not wanting to, like. And the birth of Maggie was not mentioned. Maggie's barely mentioned at all. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Argle bargle. But there's nothing much else. I got upset. We can move on to bigger and better things. Next up, next segment, is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week is, what is your favorite Simpsons organization? Whatever that means.
Whatever you want it to mean.
I left it open. I wanted weird answers, and I got a whole bunch of them. I like them all. I really appreciate all you guys' answers, all the responses. I wish we had the time to read everything on air, but I do try and get a good assortment. First up, from Isaac, at Isaac is a good in. The Super Friends. Who wouldn't want to be in a group with Ham, Email, Report Card, Cosine, Database, and Lisa? Lisa. I love Lisa doesn't have it. NJ.
Great code name.
At QuagSN. Globex Corporation. By the way, Homer, what's your least favorite country? Italy or France? No one ever says Italy. Sean at SeanyMac15. Springfield as the unruly mob. Sir, there's an unruly mob here to see you. Do they have an appointment? Yes. I phoned ahead. That's good. From Brian, three words. Team Discovery Channel. Good. Kevin, the actual team Bart brings together in Lemon of Troy. Okay, here's how it goes. I'm the leader. Milhouse is my loyal sidekick. Nelson's a tough guy. Martin's a smart guy. Todd's a quiet religious guy who ends up going crazy.
Sounds about right.
Yep, that's about right. Cameron, at his answer, the Model UN Club. It's been in a couple episodes, but the most memorable from Das Bus or Das Bus. I know one of you guys don't like the episode, but every time I see Martin do the native Finland dance, I'm in hysterics. I'm fine with the Das Bus. I think Matt has negative feelings about Das Bus.
Oh, yeah.
I like Das Bus. I think it's fine. David, Globex Corp. In You Only Live Twice, one of my top 10 favorite episodes, run by Hank Scorpio, voiced by Albert Brooks, the perfect boss. I mean, he is a good boss.
He's pretty much the best boss anyone's ever had. It's just his aims were a little off.
He just wanted a little bit to conquer part of the world. That's fine. Austin, his answer. Singles, seniors, childless couples and teens, and gays against parasitic parents, because who doesn't want children publicly tasered? Oh, that's...
Sounds about right.
I knew that was going to work on you. Ryan, that's why I need a name that's cutting edge, like Cut Code, Edgecom, Inner Slice. Are good.
Compu Global HyperMegaNet.
There you go. Michael, the Brotherhood of Jewish Clowns. There are red noses and floppy shoes everywhere. Sad. And finally, Danny's answer, the Movementarians. Who doesn't want to be rescued by the leader and taken to Blistonia, known for its high levels of bliss? Matt, what is your answer?
Being as I am an absolute sucker for a heist movie, I'm going to have to go with Bart's crew for going into Shelbyville to get back to Lemon Tree. Just the way each person has their little role, and it ends up being, you know, pretty much every little kid in The Simpsons, you know, that they know, is just fantastic for me. And I love it. And that episode is probably one of my top 20 of all time, just because of that aspect of it.
Lemon of Troy, top 20 all time?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put it at the bottom of the list just to spite you.
You probably will, and then I will fight you for it.
No, I won't. Lemon Choice, good. My answer is the Super Friends. I find that delightful. Globex Corporation is probably a good runner-up.
We are the Super Friends.
The song. Shut up. The song, just the fact that Lisa is just called Lisa. Like, that episode is great. It's just delightful. Our question for next week. What is your favorite episode with a number in it? No Trance of Horror episodes.
Ooh.
I double checked. There are a lot of episodes with numbers in the titles.
There sure are.
So think about it. See, I'm gonna have to ponder. I don't think I, off the top of my head, I'm gonna have to think about it. And usually, you guys give good answers that sway me, but we'll see. I post this question on all of our social media: Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, contact us. Let us know. I can't promise I respond to everything, but I will try and get back to you if it's something urgent. Next up, man, this is a new segment that may come and go, but I like the idea of it. You and I have occasionally lodged formal complaints.
Yeah.
And now we have our someone who I don't have music. I don't like have a little clip for this. I may if it reemerges. I've often thought about a corrections segment because it. If anything is The Simpsons, it is mired in minutia. But we have a formal complaint from Tim at CubbyFan522. Lodging formal complaint, the reference to Mo removing the tattoo is from the Cartridge family in the NRA, not here. You made a...
Thank you, Tim. I will now commit seppuku.
No, I need a co-host.
Oh, okay. Virtual seppuku then.
Okay, that's fine. I think some general shame is fine. You know, just a little bit of shame. That's okay.
Well, I'm just covered in shame all day, a little bit more is not going to add that much.
That's how you learn. But if you guys do have, I think I kind of like the idea. If it's a formal complaint, all right, I can understand and accept formal complaints. I will try. I might as well include them. But we can move on to our next segment, Matt. It is time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge, where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other for this season, season six. We have a bet, a wager. Whoever, the host who doesn't win has to mow the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best. I got it down pat now.
Now you do.
Yep.
Just keep telling yourself that.
I'm not doing great for this. I am behind. I need to make a comeback somehow. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I went easy on you this week, so we'll see.
Thank you for your compassion. All those weeks when you say I go easy on you and I do amazing, it always works out, right?
Uh huh. Absolutely.
No, it doesn't, Matt. I generally do the same, which is generally
it works out for me.
That's great. Okay. We have a theme this week submitted by Brady I think I butcher his last name. He's on Twitter. Brady, you know who you are. Thank you very much. I can't say it. I really am sorry. But it's interesting. It is episodes we don't like. Questions from episodes we don't enjoy. Which we've hinted, you know, obviously there are some episodes that are not good later on in the show's history. And these are all questions from those episodes. I'm curious to see if we overlap at all. You start us off, Matt. Give me an easy question.
All right. This one should be pretty easy for you. In Bart Mangled Banner, what Republican president from the 80s is the Re-Education Center named after?
Ronald Reagan?
That is correct. The Ronald Reagan Re-Educational Center, where the Simpsons share cells with Michael Moore, the Dixie Chicks, and Bill Clinton, among others.
Okay, Matt. Your easy question. Name any one of the guest stars in Kill the Alligator and Run.
Kid Rock?
That is correct. That is the easiest one. Okay. Whew. There's Kid Rock. Kid Rock, Joe C., which is, rest in peace, Joe C., which is his small person friend. Diedrich Bader was the sheriff. And then both Robert Evans and Charlie Rose play themselves, which I don't even remember. But
I think they're on TV as something.
Okay. That episode is best forgotten. Give me a medium question.
All right. In Brawl in the Family, what is the name of the Simpsons social worker?
Oh, God. Have I even seen that one?
If you have, it's very obvious, but
then
I thought that you might not have seen that episode.
I probably haven't seen it. I think I've heard the title of it.
Season 12 or 13.
Then I've seen it. If it's 12 or 13, I've seen all of them through like 16 or 17. I just, not a lot of them. Let me think. Brawl in the Family, social worker. Complete blank.
Dang.
What is it?
Sorry, I was going to use Gabriel.
Oh,
he's trying to get his wings.
He's in that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that episode is so bad. It also has the return of their Vegas wives.
Oh, that's that one. Okay.
Yeah.
I've had, like, Delroy Lindo, he does a good job as Gabriel. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Medium question, Matt. What is the name of the horse the Simpsons adopt in Saddlesore Galactica?
Duncan.
Do you have his other name?
His other name?
They rename him.
Okay.
It's his edgy extreme name.
Oh, God. What is his other name? I have no idea what his extreme name is.
I'll give it to you anyway. I was not going to be exacting. Furious D is his.
Furious, of course. That's his name in Tapped Out. How could I forget that?
How could you forget that, Matt?
You're just
the worst. You're so dumb. Speaking of dumb, give me a hard question.
All right. Your hard question is, this one may not be that hard for you, depending on how much you know about tennis. Oh. In Tennis the Menace, name all four tennis pros that end up in the final match.
God. Let's see. Do you know what year that episode was in?
Tennis the Menace was season 11, I believe.
Okay. Then I'm going to, let's see. There's four of them. This is, let's see. In that time period, were the Williams sisters tennis players then? Were they professional? I want to say they were. Would they be both? There's four of them. Venus and Serena Williams, Pete Sampras, and Andre Agassi.
Oh my God, that's amazing! Congratulations.
I got it right.
You did get it right. You got every single one of them.
That's all just basic tennis knowledge. Nothing about Simpsons knowledge.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, that was season 12. My bad. Season 12.
That's There's a reason these episodes are the ones we don't like. Your final question, Matt. Your hard question. What are the three reasons given to Homer that three reasons given why Homer is not getting a trip to Africa after pulling a golden giraffe from the box of animal crackers?
That contest ended 30 years ago. They don't make animal crackers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the last reason? Oh, the printing on a box is not a valid contract.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You are correct.
Yes. Whew.
Yep.
Took me a while to get that last one. Yeesh.
Yeah, perfect score again. You're killing me, Matt. You're up 8 points. How am I going to surpass 8 points? I can't even score 8 points in one game, in one episode. I'm getting killed. You're just destroying me. Might as well just start picking out dresses.
Well, if you want to, I'm sure our listeners would love to an album of that.
I don't think so. Don't think they'd enjoy that. But
I think we would all enjoy that.
Of course. If you have a theme or a trivia question you'd like me to ask Matt, just send them in to any of our social media places, and we'll get them. Uh-oh. What's happening?
What's happening? What do you mean, what's happening?
Oh, what is... Matt, why are you sending me pictures of Ralph as a Pokemon?
Because it's amazing.
I mean, it's not bad. I'll put it on social media, probably. Uh-huh. We can move on to our final segment. The segment we end every episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where would you put this one, Matt?
Okay, and Maggie makes three. Let's see here. We don't really have a whole lot of Maggie episodes. I guess we can kind of put this in flashbacks to compare it.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear where I would put it?
Sure.
New number six. Right behind.
I can definitely get behind
right
that.
Behind I Married Marge. I think I Married Marge slightly ahead. I think this episode is better than Last Exit to Springfield, which is currently number six. It is just so, it's heartwarming. It's funny.
It's tight. There's no randomness really in terms of extra stories tacked on. The entire episode from beginning to end makes sense. It's a logical progression, the whole thing, unlike certain episodes that will be named.
We're talking about this week's new episode, which you can hear the review of if you go to our Patreon. I think I would put I Married Marge like ahead by a hair.
I don't even know if a hair. I think, you know, it's I Married Marge is a little more character focused. It's more Marge and Homer than anything else. Mm-hmm. And this is basically a Homer story from beginning to end.
That's true. Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know. I do think that the end of this episode is the most heartwarming moment in the entire run of The Simpsons. And I don't know, like, it just warms my cold, dead, cynical heart. So I can't, I don't want to discount it. Number six, good for you?
Works for me.
All right. There you go. There you go. New number six and Maggie and Maggie's. And Maggie makes three right there. New number six on our list. Man, we're going to have to, when we do our next commentary tracks, we're going to have to do that one first. Still number one is Cape Fear. Holding on strong. Been there for a bit now.
Yeah.
Last place is Homer's Odyssey, number 109. We'll be supplanted probably by one of those episodes that we pulled questions from just moments ago. I would, yeah, probably. What's our next episode, Matt?
Oh, you're making me scroll back up on my list. Next up is Bart's Comet. Yes.
Yeah, Bart's Comet.
Hey, sarah, sarah.
Speaking of heartwarming moments done in an episode. Mm-hmm. God, I really like Bart's Comet.
Yeah.
I really do. We'll see where that one goes next week. Talk about it. Break it down. I'm excited. You can find this list at our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. This list broken down by season. Treehouse of Horror segments broken out individually, ranked against each other. New episodes, downloadable streaming, links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, and a link to our Patreon if you want to throw a couple bucks our way. Really appreciate it, of course. You can find me online on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, etc. iTunes, you know. Oh, the whole, it's a podcast. Eric. Oh, see, I'm getting Handsome Boys. See, this is what happens, Matt.
I don't know to be insulted or honored.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Matt does not participate in social media. Unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That's true, but in an effort to get away from the election coverage, I have decided to bury myself in my backyard. I will communicate with the outside world through little strips of paper. So if you know where I live, feel free to swing by and toss a piece of paper down there. I might write something back or just yell at you because you're in my yard. So, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Watch out for the dog.
Yeah, she's pretty dumb.
She'll headbutt you. It hurts.
That is true.
It's happened. It's probably going to happen this weekend.
It probably will.
Yep.
That's what she loves to do.
Yeah, she's, you know, big idiot. I think with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.